today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Family Talk with psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. Today's show is a little bit different because my dad is on the other side of the microphone, but I know you'll be encouraged and even inspired by what you're about to hear. A couple of weeks ago, my dad was interviewed by Andrew Womack, the founder and president and chairman of Andrew Womack Ministries. For more than 4.5 decades, Andrew has taught God's Word with clarity and simplicity through his daily Gospel Truth television and radio programs, broadcast nationally and internationally. Andrew is also the founder and president of Charis Bible College with more than 70 locations in major American cities and around the world. Since 1994, Charis Bible College has equipped men and women for ministry throughout the world. Together, my dad and Andrew have over 80 years of ministry, and as you can imagine, their conversation was powerful as they discussed the challenges facing believers in today's culture. Let's listen to them now on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Today, I have a real treat for you. I am really honored to have with me Dr. James Dobson from Family Talk. And brother, thank you so much for coming on the Gospel Truth program.
Well, don't you think it's about time? We're neighbors here. We work 2 blocks away from each other.
I bet you we're less than a mile apart.
Right. It is a pleasure to be on your program.
Well, you know what? You are a blessing in a lot of ways, but the reason I wanted to have you on is because of the current things that are happening in our nation. I believe that what happens in America has a ripple effect all over the world.
It does.
So even for the people who may not feel like they're dealing exactly with our thing, as go America, that's the way that the world goes in a lot of different ways. And we have had a lot of things, but the Supreme Court ruling that sanctioned gay marriage has grieved me, as it has you. We've talked on the phone about this. But what grieved me even more was the Christian response to it, or the lack of response.
That has shocked me. When that decision was handed down, my thought was the same as yours. Lord, let God's people stand up and oppose this, because it's wrong. Mm-hmm. It is evil. And there have been 3 Supreme Court decisions in American history that have had a terrible impact on us. So the Dred Scott, of course, in the 1800s, which really said black people are not really fully human. And then Roe v. Wade.
The Supreme Court was wrong on that one.
They were wrong. And Abraham Lincoln really brought about the Emancipation Proclamation and overrode the Supreme Court. Yeah. I wish somebody had the guts to do that today.
Amen.
And then Roe v. Wade, which has resulted in nearly 60 million babies. Imagine that.
And I have also heard that 60 million, New York and California aren't required to report all of the abortions. So it's probably way over.
You can be sure of that. And then now this decision on gay marriage, it is really has the implications to reach every corner of the culture. You know, if I can speak personally, I had a black cloud over me after June 26 when that decision was handed down. And about 3 days later, I was lying in bed, and Shirley was not there yet. She was getting ready for bed. And I was contemplating this foreboding, this black cloud. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I threw the covers back, and I went to my desk and began writing. And in fact, I've sent what I was writing to our constituency. And what had hit me is that decision is not really about gay marriage. It's not. It's about everything else. It's about the entire culture war. It's about control of the public schools. And it's what happens in universities, including your own. There will be pressure on you, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I know you'll resist it, but it's going to be there. And it's about the economy, and it's about business, and it's about the military, and it's about everything. We lost the entire culture war with that one decision. And the gay marriage thing was just part of it, but it's going to touch every dimension.
You know, I just saw this last week, and I knew that you were going to come on, and I thought, man, what a great lead-in. And exactly what you're saying right here. Here are some quotes. There was a homosexual activist. This is an article that was printed in Charisma magazine. And this homosexual activist and pornographer, Clinton Fine, said that they demand the institution of marriage and then wreck it. And then he wrote, James Dobson was right about our evil intentions, he quipped. We just planned to be quicker than he thought. And this warning that you gave just now, you've been saying this for decades, saying that if we give them this, that is not all that they're after.
It's just the beginning.
And
really.
And here they are admitting it.
Yeah. I left USC School of Medicine, where I was a professor of pediatrics, largely, or at least partly, because I saw where that movement was taking the family, and I knew it was going to destroy it. And so I left and started a radio program, Focus on the Family. I'm not there now. My purpose was to deal with that issue and others of threat to the family. And through the 80s, I warned people. And you know, Andrew, people are saying to me now, I heard you. I heard you say that the family was going to be under great danger from that cause, and I didn't believe you. But now I do. That's what I'm hearing today. And here's a gay activist who is saying, yeah, you had it right. You just didn't think we were going to do it as quickly as we were.
Let me read another quote. This is by Masha Gessen.
I have no idea who
anyway,
that is.
Anyway, it's a lesbian journalist. And here's a quote on ABC Radio. Said, it is a no-brainer that homosexuals should have the right to marry, she said. But I also think equally that it is a no-brainer that the institution of marriage should not exist. Fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we are going to do with marriage when we get there, because we will lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change, and that is a lie.
How candid is that? I mean, that shocked me.
You've been saying this, but now you even have the gay activist admitting it. And their agenda never was to get equal rights, which that could be debated, but it's far beyond that.
And the reason they're admitting it now is they've won.
They got the high ground.
They've
they
won.
Think they don't, it's not going to hurt them.
And you know, Andrew, I've been on the radio about as long as you have. I think we started about the same time.
Yes, but you passed me up kind of like I was going in reverse.
Not so. But that concern that's gone back so far, they've achieved everything they've set out to do. In all that time, I have never been disrespectful to homosexuals. I've never been mean. I've never said things that are mean. I just disagree with their agenda. You can't win people to Christ if you're calling them names. So they say that I'm hate-filled and all those things. But I've never, I mean, it's all on the record. Every program I've ever done is recorded. If anybody wants to check it or any of my books, I've never done that because I don't believe in it. But I am committed to a Christian, Judeo-Christian ethic, and especially the institution of marriage.
Absolutely. And so this, I believe, is the spirit of Antichrist at work. Most people don't phrase it that way, but the Bible says that there is a spirit of Antichrist that is at work in the world. And this isn't just about gays or marriage or anything. It is literally an evil force that is trying to destroy all Christianity influence.
And let me tell you what concerns me the most. It's the children. You know, in California and Massachusetts and other places, we're seeing the wave of the future. This is going to happen elsewhere. It's where the teachers, kindergarten through 12th grade, are required to teach homosexual propaganda. You've got these little five-year-olds. You know, they come in their little short pants and they sit before this teacher who has all the authority of the state behind her. And she stands there and begins telling them things that are not true. Now they're after gender. That's the big thing right now, is they tell them there is no gender. You choose your gender It's not something you were born with. It's not genetic. It's not in the DNA. This is a chosen way of life. And you're telling 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds, and the parents are allowing that to happen.
You know, here's a verse that I have been using in response to all of this. It says in Leviticus 19:17, it says, "Thou shalt not hate thy neighbor in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." And it is not hate to tell a person that what they're doing is destructive to them and to other people. Matter of fact, according to this verse, it's love. And yet, somehow or another, if you oppose what they say you hate them. And that is just wrong.
It's a strategy.
And one of their statements is tolerance. And yet they are the most intolerant people on the face of the earth. They won't tolerate anybody who disagrees with them.
Well, my son wrote a book called Be Intolerant Because Some Things Are Just Stupid. And I think that's pretty good.
You know, I was over in England and the BBC put a camera right in front of my face and says, "Doesn't the Bible teach tolerance?" And I said, "No." And they were just shocked. Their whole argument, everything they was going to say was based on that. And they said, "Yes, it doesn't." I said, "No, it doesn't. It teaches love." And I said, "It's love to tell a person if the bridge is out and they're going to die if they go that way, I've got to do whatever I can to stop them, to keep from destroying their lives." And I said, "It's love to tell a person the truth."
Well, who was our model? Christ was our model. He was certainly not tolerant of sin. He called it by its name.
And he's the one that said, "It's the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Love doesn't set people free. The truth does, spoken in love. And both you and I admit that there are people that have certainly gone about this the wrong way and have probably given occasion to some of the criticisms against Christianity. But nonetheless, it is love to tell a person the truth. And we've got to rise up and withstand this ungodliness.
Let me tell you what's happened with our organization, Family Talk. There has been a mandate that you probably know about that all 501c3 organizations like yours and mine have to give contraceptives to their employees, including those that are abortifacients, those that result, in many cases, to the death of a baby.
Like the morning after pill.
Exactly. And so I wrote a letter, we're under that mandate, and I wrote a letter including a statement to the president. I said, "Mr. President, I will not live by your ungodly values and decrees and the mandate. So here I am, come get me." And as a result of that, we wound up in a lawsuit with the federal government, with Sebelius, who was Secretary of Health.
So you sent this to the president?
Yes, but I sent it to everybody. It's an open letter to the president saying we're not going to do it. So we were in a lawsuit with the federal government against the president and Kathleen Sebelius and others. And that's expensive to go through that. Fortunately, the Alliance Defending Freedom helped us with it, but it's a lot of money. Yeah. And a federal judge, district judge, ruled in our favor. We won it, but then Obama and his team appealed it. So it's under appeal now. And that may go to the Supreme Court, and we may yet lose. And if we do, it's an $850,000 fine per year. Well, we're not opposed to contraceptives, but opposed to abortifacients. Uh-huh. And we will close our doors. And if that's what it is, it may come down to that. Ministers who refuse to perform wedding ceremonies very well may have the same problem. I'm telling you, it's going to get really nasty. And where are you, Christian people? Where are you? Are you going to just wait until it happens and then your church is forced into certain behaviors? It's wrong.
So let me just speak what I know a lot of people are thinking, and I want to get your response on this. But many people would agree with what you're saying, and they say, "This is all wrong. It shouldn't have ever happened," etc. But what can we do about it? And I think that there's a tremendous amount of Christians that have just, in a sense, given this issue over and said, we've lost it, and let's go on and ignore this. What would you say to that?
Well, when will you draw the line? Will it be with your own children, being able to teach them what you want? Will it be an edited Bible that you have to share with them? At what point will you say,
if it isn't worth fighting over this, what is?
Enough is enough. I'm not trying to start a revolution. I don't think that's the answer. But, you know, in a democracy like this, we're all 1/350,000,000th part of the government. It wasn't like that in Caesar's time or in other times. In other countries, it's not like that. We have a responsibility for our input to the way the government is run. Yeah. And that means to vote, for Pete's sake. Yeah. Half the Christians don't even vote. They won't give 15 minutes to go to the polls and have an impact on who is chosen to run this government. See, that's not a revolution. That is exercising our Christian responsibilities.
I've had some people approach me and say, well, Paul lived in an antagonistic government system, and yet he just went on and preached the gospel.
And he went to prison for
it. That's true. But here's my response. See what you think about this. The difference is, Paul was a minister of the gospel, but we aren't just ministers of the gospel. We're also Americans that have constitutional rights. And what we're talking about is, I could serve under any government and go to prison and be beaten for it, but as Americans, just like you're saying, we have a responsibility and an opportunity to turn this thing around.
We have constitutional rights that were granted to us by our founding fathers, and we have a responsibility to defend them. If we don't defend them and use them, we will lose them. You know, Abraham Lincoln, in his Gettysburg Address, said that ours is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It did not say by, for, and of the people, except for those with Christian beliefs.
But we've been... We've been pretty much marginalized in our society.
We have, but we should not allow it.
My next question is that people can say, all right, I agree with that, but what do we do? How do you change the way our nation's going?
Well, first of all, you get yourself informed of the beliefs of politicians who want your vote, and then you vote that way. And if people tell you they're going to defend religious liberty, we'll say, and they get to Washington and they don't do it, you work, if you have to vote them out. That is the choice that we have. And you also speak to your fellow man and fellow woman. You talk about it at church. I pray that pastors will begin to awaken to what's really going on. And frankly, a lot of them are. I'm really pleased by that. The other thing is, I couldn't overstate this, is prayer. Because, you know, we could have another great awakening if God's people would go to their knees in prayer. God answers prayer. I know you believe that. And I do too.
You know, if there is a silver lining in this, I think it could be that this might wake up people finally, just like you're saying. And that would be good. So we pray and we vote. Is there anything else? The average person is sitting there saying, what else can I do?
We're in a river. I call it the river of culture. And it flows one way. And it takes you downstream. It never takes you upstream. And if you're in that river, it is so difficult to not become part of where that leads. And it takes tremendous self-control and instruction in prayer to walk upstream against the river. More importantly, our kids, our teenagers are in the river, and they're being carried down to who knows where. And we have to oppose it wherever we see wickedness and evil, we have to stand up and be counted and then take the consequences for it. I've been doing that for a long time, and I can tell you it's not easy. It's not easy because you will be called names. I'm tired of that. You know, being pro-life and pro-family and all the things that are done like that brings animosity to you. And it's hard, but I'm telling you, have the courage to be one of those who will stand up and be counted.
Well, it goes against human nature to just want to be a target and have people shoot at you. But there's some things that are worth dying for. There are some mountains that it's worth fighting over.
Do you believe that?
I really believe it. And I'm committed to doing it as I know you are.
We may have to accept it.
You know, there was a guy that I was talking to who was a pastor in San Francisco. And I asked him how he responded to the gay and lesbian community. And I said, do you have homosexuals that come to your church? And he said, oh, yeah. And he says, we want them to feel welcome. We want them to come. Yeah. Hopefully they'll hear the gospel and be changed. And so I said, do you ever speak against homosexuality or gay marriage? And he said, oh, no, I don't want to offend anybody and drive them off. And I understood his logic, but my next statement was, I said, so if you don't stand up and defend what the Bible says and proclaim it, what about all of the young people in your church that are being raised up? The gay and lesbian community is being vocal and speaking their, you know, message. And in the absence of you speaking, what choice do they have?
I thank God for your doing that. I wish every layman would say that to his pastor, because they get a lot of flack when they do speak the truth, even in love. I was speaking in Seattle some years ago, and it was in a stadium, and there were a lot of people there. And there was a whole section of gay activists over here, and they were trying to outshout me. And I stopped, and I said, I want to speak directly to you folks. I want you to know that, first of all, we're glad you're here. I'm glad you came. To hear what I had to say. And I want to say something else to you. Most of you have been hurt. Most of you were bullied as kids. You were made fun of for one reason or another. Maybe the way you talked or sounded or dressed. And you have been wounded, and that's why you're so angry. But I want you to know I have to speak what I believe is right about what the Scripture says. I said essentially the same thing you did. They shut up and they listened to me. And that was the end of it. If we are so busy trying to get our hands around the necks of people we disagree with, we're never going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I agree. But at the same time, is there a place for standing up and proclaiming what the Bible says about marriage and about life when it starts?
Yeah, I was on Larry King's show many times over 20 years, and he would ask me biblical questions, and I would say to him what I say now. I have no authority to change one word in that book. I can't do it. If it's there, I'm obligated to it. All I can do is tell you what it says, and I live with that.
You've been listening to an interview with my dad and Andrew Womack of Andrew Womack Ministries. We are out of time for today, but be sure to come back tomorrow to hear the conclusion of this powerful interview. You'll be inspired and encouraged to hear how these two Christian leaders remain committed to fight for the truth, no matter what others may say about them. As an example, my dad warned about the true agenda of the homosexual movement for years, and the recent Supreme Court decision and lawsuits against bakers and wedding photographers have all proven him right. It was never really about marriage. Even now, there are other cultural trends shaping our future, and my dad has written a fascinating series about what tomorrow might look like based on those trends. It's an engrossing tale of conspiracy, danger, and deceit. And this month, for a donation of any amount, we will say thank you by sending you a copy of Fatherless, the first book in the series. or for a donation of $50 or more, we'll send you the entire trilogy. If you enjoy thrillers, you'll be entertained and challenged by this vision of a godless future. Give today by calling us at 877-732-6825 or clicking the Donate tab at our website, drjamesdobson.org. And while you're on the website, you'll find a link to Andrew Womack Ministries to find out more about the work he and his team are doing to spread God's truth to the nation and around the world. Our website again is drjamesdobson.org. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.